today. We will start with the 5th chapter. I hope we complete it. So before that, let's do an overview of the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter started with Krishna telling how the knowledge of conquering lust. Can you turn this on? How the knowledge of conquering lust is something which is eternal, and how he himself comes to teach and establish dharma again and again. Then he talked about how he is the creator and the goal of all the different paths that are there in the literature. Then Krishna continues the teachings of karma yoga from the what do you think, Sundra? You are able to see properly?
Yeah.
All of you. So can we have Sundra down there?
I want to buy something and explain something else. So this is slide I want to display and I want to work on the future slide.
So the PowerPoint comes and I'll explain over you. The 5th chapter, again you start with a question. And the question is in a sense same as the question which Arjuna asked at the start of 3rd chapter. And actually the same question practically speaking, Krishna will be asked by Arjuna in the 18th chapter also. So the same question about which is better, karma yoga or karma sannyas. This is asked by Arjuna 3 times. It is for making sure that we understand things clearly. 3rd chapter, 5th chapter and 18th chapter. But you will see that every time when Krishna gives answer, the answer becomes more systematic and more deep. This chapter Krishna will explain how the karma yogi has a very enlightened consciousness of a jnani, and then he will also give an analysis of how the jnani, why he is not bound when he is doing karma also, an analysis of the principles of causality. And then in this chapter, for the first time, Krishna will introduce a very important new concept in a systematic way, that is the super soul. And then, after that, the chapter ends by attaining liberation by focusing on the super soul. And the 2 ways are talked about for that. One is I just give an overview of the 5th chapter. So the same answer is giving you a deeper knowledge of the 5th chapter. But let's look at the 4th chapter once. So Krishna, basically, if you put aside from 3.36 to 4.15, then 3.35 to 4.16 is the continuity. Krishna is just explaining karma yoga. But 3.36 to 3.43 is answering how does one deal with lust which distracts one from karma yoga. And then from 4.1 to 4.15, he is telling his own supreme position as the teacher of karma. It saves one from lust and enables one to practice karma. And then from 4.16 to 25, he describes how karma yoga is performed by a devotee in internal consciousness, by a sadhaka rather. And then the karma yogi has jnana within his. So what are the different ways in which jnana can be acquired? There is different ways to acquire jnana. And then lastly, Krishna tells you how you should acquire jnana by going to the spiritual master. And the effects of acquiring jnana. The glory of jnana is described in the conclusion of that chapter. So the thread unifying the chapter is again karma yoga. Remember, jnana karma sannyasa yoga it is called. Why jnana karma sannyasa yoga? Because in the previous chapter it is told that you should perform karma yoga because that's what you are best qualified for, and that's what will set the best example for society. But the internal consciousness of a Jnani was not told. It was told that the Jnani is enlightened, the Karma Yogi is enlightened, whereas the Karma Kandi is ignorant. He is told that the Jnani, Karma Yogi is detached, and the Karma Kandi is attached. Saktaha Karma Nyalik Bhavanta, Isakur Vanti Bharata. 3.25. But what is that Jnani which he has? That, how that Jnani is God, and what that Jnani is described, is glorious in this chapter. So, what is happening is, the Karma Yoga, Karma Yogi is, Karma becomes Yoga because he has Jnana internally. And that Jnana was described in the 4th chapter. But 4.41 and 42 are apparently contradictory. Because Krishna uses the word Sannyas. We discussed yesterday how, in 4.39 there is the word Shanti Adhigacchati. So, and then 4.41 there is Karma Sannyas. So these two make Arjuna think that I should not fight. And then 4.42 Krishna said, Uttishtha, rise and fight. So the main contradiction is in 41 and 42. And Chakravarti Pada says, when Arjuna asks this question, he says, Krishna is giving me contradictory instructions. It is like telling a person to stay stationary and run at high speed. It is not possible to do both. Tell me what you need to do, what should I do? Should I work or should I renounce work? Tell me one thing. That is what Arjuna's question is. So, can we reply to it? Can we read the question of Arjuna?
Oh, really? He has generated it. Anyway, can we just read it? No, no. Oh, escape.
This chapter has 29 verses, and first section is Karma Yoga is equal to but easier than Karma Sannyas or Jnana Yoga. Here it is Karma Sannyas. Then Karma Yoga, why are the two equal? Because Karma Yogi works with Jnana. So, the Jnana with which Karma Yogi works, or the, can I say consciousness, with Jnana of a Karma Yogi. That means, the Karma Yogi has Jnana. So, why are the two equal? Because whatever jnana the jnana yogi has, that jnana the karma yogi also has. Consciousness with jnana. Consciousness is there and the jnana is there. Just like bhakti is there, the consciousness, jnana is there. Then, why karma yogi is not bound? This is a very interesting analysis. It is called etiology. Etiology is study of causality. Causality is who is the actual doer. So why karma yogi is not bound? So now KY, it also means karma yoga, and where is karma yogi? I'll put over here. Why karma yogi is not bound? Why? Because we discuss the causality. What exactly happens? Then, so here, Tirtha Krishna is only talking about how karma yogi will not be bound. Naivam papam vapsati, krutva api nibadhyate. That was the theme. But now Krishna will take it further and tell that karma yogi will also attain liberation, just like the jnana yogi attains. So, how karma yogi attains liberation by concentrating on the super soul. And in this, this is 17 to 29, this is full section, within that subsection. So that means how karma yogi attains liberation by concentrating on the super soul. That's the overall theme. So the liberated karma yogi is described in these words, the sutta 17 to 19, and 20 to 29 is describing the sadhaka and how this concentration on the super soul can be achieved. Sadhaka means karma yogi. Liberated karma yogi and seeker karma yogi. So, in the last two verses of this verse, Krishna gives also a glimpse of other processes by which this liberation can be attained. So we will keep this over here and I will keep referring it back again and again as we go over the verses. And things will become more clear if they are not yet clear right now. Yoga is equal to but easier than Jnana Yoga. So now Jnana Yoga offers two things as Arjuna understands this. It makes sure that he don't get bound, and it also enables the seeker to get liberated. So Krishna will show how the same benefits are available for the karma yogi, and he will describe that by first telling how the karma yoga is easier. That's the first section. Then second section is how karma yogi also has jnana. And then he describes why the karma yogi is not bound, although he's doing action, why is he not bound? It's a nice analysis over there. And then the one part is over. The karma yogi will not be bound. But how will he get liberated? That's the second part. So that happens because the karma yogi focuses on the super soul. And that is the part from 17 to 29. And that he describes the siddha and the sadhaka. Now, actually, to understand the basic thesis of this chapter, or the basic theme of this chapter, we have to understand that in Arjuna's mind, he is thinking Jnana Yoga to be very lofty and karma to be ordinary, mundane. So actually, from the bhakti point of view, both karma yoga and Jnana Yoga are lower. But for Arjuna, when Krishna will equate karma yoga and Jnana Yoga, by the way, what is happening is karma yoga is going upgraded. The level of karma yoga is being raised in his eyes. Because he thinks jnana yoga is lofty. Jnana yoga liberates. That's because karma binds. That's what Krishna is going to argue. So something has to do without the cause. I hope all of you have the Holy Cross with you. So here is the first verse translation, isn't it? Can you read it once again?
Arjuna said, "Oh Krishna, first of all, if you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommended work for the devotion. Now you can't tell me definitely which of the two is more than this one?"
Yes. First you ask me to renounce work is 4.49. And you tell me to work is 4.42. Tell me which is better. So let's start. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Together. సన్యాసకర్మయోగేయసరానుభవ అయోస్సు కర్మ సన్యాస కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే. సో యు సేయింగ్ బోత్ ఆర్ గుడ్. Both are Vishreyasa. Where the Vishreya is, similar to Shreya. Shreya is long-term benefit. So Vishreyasa. Both will be Vishreyasa. But among them, with this one is better. Karma Yoga is better. And then, he is soft. Now Prabhupada in the support focuses mainly on Vishreyasa. How actually this material world is a place of misery. And then he quotes from Vishuddhaya's teaching, Nunam Pramathaha Kurte Vikarma. Why is he quoting that? Because, you know, materialistic people think that everything is also very nice. If they don't want karma yoga, they don't want karma sannyasa. So Prabhupada is taking this lofty discussion and bringing it down to our level. Telling us how first of all we should desire something is serious. And then he will go into the subsequent analysis of Siddhartha. He says both are good because at least a person is not getting bound further in material existence. Right? Karma yoga vishishyate. Vishishyate means it is vishesh, it is special, it is better. So in the third chapter also Krishna used the word. As compared to the renunciate, sincere householder is better. Sincere work, karma yoga is better. Karmendri karma yoga asaktahasa vishishyate. That is 4.7. So now, Krishna will tell, don't think that only one who renounces his work is a renouncer. Actually, one who renounces the truth is also a renouncer. That is the next verse. Geya sanitya sanyasi yona dveshti na kamshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukham bandha pramuchyate.
One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all duality, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated. O mighty Amla Juna.
So, what is sannyas over here? He is a sannyasi, forever renounced. How is he renounced? Because he is not attached to the fruits of his work. And Krishna is taking a further cleansing from Uchyate. Not only is not bound, but he is liberated. So, now he will have to explain this. Arjuna is surprised. How this person will be liberated? Then Krishna says, actually both of them are equal. Sankhya yoga prithak balaha pravadanti na pandita ekam aphyasthita samya udayo rindate phalam.
Only the ignorant speak of yoga service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world. Those who are actually present say that you apply yourself very to one of these paths, achieve the result of both.
So balaha, bala means those are childish. The childish people say that these two are different. Childish means the child, just the child does not have much knowledge, he is ignorant. So the ignorant say that these two are puthak, they are different. Pravadanti no, it is not said by Panditaha. Why? Because now the two paths appear to be extremely very different. In one, the person is completely giving all activity, in the other, the person is doing a lot of activity. So now here, when Krishna is using the word yoga, he is referring to karma yoga. And then using the word Sankhya, he is referring to Jnana Yoga. So actually, this is one of the challenges in understanding scripture, that many of the Sanskrit words are polyvalent. Polyvalent means, you remember valency in chemistry, you don't remember the matter. That you know, the polyvalent means the same word has many meanings. So, and it is that in the same chapter also, Krishna may use the same word but the different meaning. So yoga, in this chapter, will mean karma yoga. But if you go forward the sixth chapter, there yoga means dhyana yoga. as we will see later in the 6th chapter also, the word Atma also has many meanings. The word Brahman has many meanings. That's why proficiency in Sanskrit is not enough to understand scripture. Of course, our acharyas have shown proficiency. In Chakravarti Pada, there is a lot of grammatical analysis also and shows that this word should mean this only and this word cannot mean this in this context. It does that. But more important is to understand the heart and the purpose of the Lord. And when one understands that by one's bhakti, then one can see everything in context. Okay, this means this, this means this, this means this. So, here the word yoga refers to karma yoga. So, Krishna is telling, both of them they are not different. Why? It's not that they are same, but they are not different because both lead to the same goal. In whichever way you apply yourself, asthitaha, asthitaha means to situate yourself. If you apply yourself, ubhayor vindate phalam. Both, by both you will get the same fruit. Phalam is the fruit. Generally, the jnanis the process is very, very severe. Some ideas given in the Bhavita, he described that in the morning, when the sunset wakes up, you know, as soon as the eyes open, whichever direction the eyes go, whatever leaves have fallen in that direction, those leaves will be the meal for the day for it. Because he should not even pluck fruit from the tree. And he should not even endeavor. Because endeavor is also arambha, sarva arambha parityagi. And if he wakes up and says, okay, by the arrangement of providence, these leaves are, so he has to eat first of all only leaves. And leaves also not fresh leaves. And not that he search around and collect leaves. Just that, as soon as you make first glance, whatever leaves you see, that is it. So, we get some glimpse of that when we do chaturman. We don't do chaturman. But you know, just taking one mouthful. So like that, basically, even the activities of bodily maintenance have to be stopped. So bodily maintenance also has to be done without violence. And that's why it's a very difficult process. So it requires tremendous austerity and tremendous taste for intellectual speculation. Because they haven't got an emotional taste. So where do they get? They have to get some rasa somewhere. Something to be able to withstand austerity and suffering that is happening at the body level. That is the taste of speculation. So, of course, that also is very gratifying. The intellectual gratification is enormous. Sometimes chess players, they start sitting and playing chess. So they can forget food, they can forget water, they just completely absorb. It's intellectual. It's quite intoxicating. So, that is there. But it also requires a high degree of physical control. Even the bodily activity maintenance is minimized to whatever is obtainable by providence. So now, in this verse Krishna, in the next verse Krishna will elaborate this. The two processes are not externally equal, but they are equal in that they are meant for the same goal. And they both help us to achieve the same goal. Next translation. So, Chakravarti Pad says that Sankhyai and Yogai, so the plural is used over here. Why? Because both are Nishreyas processes. Rasa Krishna wants to address both of them respectfully. Singular only Sankhyai and Yogai. Singular Sankhyai and the Yogai Rapi Gamyati. So, because both are Nishreyas, so both are do the good for the living entity, so he is addressing both of them respectfully. Then Krishna is respectfully. So, and Krishna is again saying, whatever destination is attained by the Yogi, it will be attained also by the Yogi. Now, Prabhupada explains how this is. He says that in the purport, that the ultimate goal is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is like watering the root of the tree. So, Karma Yoga, so basically one process is to start watering the root of the tree, and the other is to do research. Okay, where is this tree growing? as a do research, tap the branches, and then we find, okay, the tree seems to be growing because of the limb. You start digging, and then finally, you find the root. And if you find the root, then all what you have to do, you cannot dig out the root also. You dig out the root, then everything will be destroyed. And to water the root also. So, this, what is the searching? Where is the source of the growth of this tree? This is 1990. Is the flower the source of the growth of the tree? No, no. Flower is automatically there. That is not the source. That is the result of the growth. That the branches the growth, is the stem the growth, and then you go downward, downward, downward. So, by 1990, which is the process of Dhyan, one comes to ultimately the truth, Vishnu. Of course, one will not come to Vishnu just by 90. One will just come to the Atma Tattva. But from the Atma Tattva, if one is fortunate, one will, by the mercy of a devotee, understand Vishnu. And after one understands Vishnu, one has to serve Vishnu, that is watering the root. So in that sense, both processes are the same. By Karma Yoga, what do we do? We stop watering the plant, the leaves and the branches and the flowers, and stop wasting the water. And we start going to yoga, where should I offer this water? Then, if you are fortunate, we understand that. Okay. I should just be detached from the fruits of my work, but there is a step further. After being detached, proper the supreme law, then one starts walking around. So now, after describing this in two verses, now Krishna says, if both are going to reach the same result, then Arjuna might say, okay, then I will renounce work. That will also be the same fruit, and then Arjuna will be the same fruit. No. He says, the renouncing work is trouble, Swami. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkhamaptuma yogatah yoga yukto muner brahma Chirevadhigacchati. Ayogataha. Ayogataha means without yoga. What happens? Sannyasam lead to dukkhamaptum. Sannyasam lead to dukkha. Why? Because in sannyas, basically they are saying no. No, I will not enjoy this, I will not do this, I will not do this. Now saying no is rarely pleasurable. Actually the only time saying no is pleasurable when others are going to appreciate you for saying no. Isn't it, you know? If everybody else is watching, I say, I don't take any sweets. Sorry, now I actually, our mind is saying, I want to take the sweet. But the ego gets some pleasure. Ah, no, I don't take any sweets. But the jnani is supposed to be in the jungle, he is not going to get that fear or something. Nobody there to appreciate that. So, in that sense, actually there is no pleasure in saying no in general. Even for a devotee, the pleasure is not in saying no, because the no constitutes a yes. You know, by saying no to Maya, we are saying yes to Krishna. By saying no to sense gratification, we are saying yes to the vows that you have given as spiritual master. So what makes renunciation joyful is the positive aspect of connection with Krishna. So that's why now for the Karma Yogi, there is no connection with Krishna till now. But still, at least there is an activity going on which is natural to the body. So inactivity, as we discussed in 3.6, nahi kashchit kshanam api, it is unnatural, 2.5. So for the yogi, for the jnani, there is no activity at all. And that's why, because ayogataha, it's painful. Dukkham aatum ajogata, yoga yukto. Now, yoga is, he is engaged in activity, yukto, he is connected with the absolute. The word yukta is one of the commonest words in the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, when the word yukta comes more, probably the only word that comes more than yukta is Shri Bhagavan Vaj. Of course, that also doesn't come so many times, but only when Krishna is speaking. Yukta is extremely common. So, yukta is connected. Yoga yukto muner brahma na chirena adi gacchati. Gacchati means what is? Soon he will attain. Na chirena. Kuti. Attain brahma. Then now what is that brahma is got to? Okay, that absolute eternal truth is there. He will attain that. And after describing this section gets over. So Krishna has said that yes, both are equal, but this is better. So whatever he told in 2, he explained it in 3, 4, 5, and he reiterated in 6. That yes, this is better. Now, Krishna will further elaborate how both of them are equal. They are equal because the Karma Yogi also has Jnana. He also has knowledge. So let's start with 7 now.
Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma kuruvanyati nalityate. So, Chakravarti Pad explains that there are three levels of yogis. Prabhupada doesn't talk about that. He says, Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma and Jitendriya. The three levels of karma yogis. One who has controlled senses, as one level, Jitendriya. Then, Vijitatma. Vijitatma is one who has controlled his mind. Here, Atma means mind. And Vishuddhatma, Vishuddhatma is one who has controlled his intellect. And because ultimately, the last, you remember, the last source also falls down is the intellect and destroyed. So, the senses are controlled, that's the beginning. Tasmattam indriyanyad. You remember, third chapter Krishna says, start by controlling the senses. But higher than controlling the senses is controlling the mind. Now, interesting, Chakravarti Pada is saying, higher than that is controlling the intelligence also. Why? Because the intelligence makes all the plans for enjoying. But the intelligence is purified completely, and there is no chance the soul will ever go away to mind. So, irrespective of whether Prabhupada categorizes all of them together, but the principle is that one who is self-controlled. Now, very interesting compound word which comes only once in the Bhagavad Gita. That is, sarva-bhutatma-bhuta. So, in the compound word is, in English we have, two words are combined together to make one word. So that is, deliciously sweet. So of course there are still two words because there is no dash, but you have to have a dash in it. It's a compound word. So, it was a horrible, terrible experience. It's a horrible, terrible. It's a compound. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. So, now the Mayavadis use this word to mean, yes, he has become all living beings. Sarva, his soul has become the soul of all living beings. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. It sounds very puzzling. But if we see Krishna is using everything in the singular, and later on if we see Krishna is clearly differentiating the Jivatma and the Paramatma, he didn't talk about merging anywhere at all. So what this means is that in affection he identifies with all living beings. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. That means his Atma, his mind and his heart feels in the same way as all other living beings. Sarva bhutatma. That's what Prabhupada says, one who is dear to all and who is and to whom all are dear. Why? Actually, what creates alienation or attachment is our selfishness. When we have selfish desire, this person is favorable for my desire. This person is not favorable. But then if we have no agenda of our own, then what happens? Everybody is lovable for us. Now, Ramakrishna in one lecture says, what is the difference between material and spiritual? Very stunning definition. He says, material means, as soon as you see a person, you think, what can he do for me? And spiritual means, as soon as you see a person, you think, what can I do for him? So, now, if we are thinking, what can this person do for me? Then there are so many persons who can't do anything for me. That's what we think. And then naturally there is this differentiation. This person is friendly, this person is neutral, this person is neutral. But if you want to serve, then everyone will serve. Now, at that level, when we talk the Madhyamadhikari differentiates, the endless people I want to steal. Prem Maitri Krupopeksha. So, in his new book which he is writing now, Yoga of Love, he describes, you know, the best way and indeed the only way that we can serve the envious is by our prayers. So, when we keep a distance also, it is not because we hate them. Because they are not ready to accept any other service, we still want to serve them. So, we serve them by our prayers. That's why this devotee sees everyone as a potential object, even the envious. But the way he serves the envious is by keeping a distance so that they don't become more of an envious. By praying from a distance for them. So, because this is karma yogi, now this, as you remember yesterday I mentioned, that if you are on this floor, you can see everything on this floor. If you are on a higher floor, you can see everything here as well as something more. So, the qualities of a karma yogi are also there in the bhakti yogi. And the bhakti yogi, in fact, they attain more completion. So here, Krishna is talking about the karma yogi, but as devotee also he can aspire to develop this. You know that pastime of Prabhupada, that Giriraj Maharaj's father came, and he was very angry. Come back. Yeah, he talked. Prabhupada met him, Prabhupada was so kind and warm, he talked to him very nicely. And his mother said, actually,
So he's not eating any meat, he'll become very weak, he'll not have sufficient protein.
So what did Prabhupada say?
Every day you should eat rasgullas. This is my instruction to you.
And this rasgulla is filled with proteins.
You can see yourself. He said, oh, this is delicious. He's going to make him very happy. And then Prabhupada talked with him so nicely. And then they were very angry and unhappy, but when they came back, they were quite happy, smiling.
And Harishari Prabhu and Srila Kishore Prabhu told Prabhupada,
Prabhupada, everyone loves you.
Why did Prabhupada say?
Because I love everyone. Why I love everyone? Everyone loves you.
Is the basic platform of Arnashram system required?
Of course.
You know, the Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in a Arnashram context only. That's why you will see so much is assumed in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna does not explain what is karma. Krishna does not explain the varnashram system. Krishna does not explain the system of pap and punya in detail. So all that is assumed. Yeah, so therefore for us, we will discuss this thing more in detail. Now there was a gradual path for elevation. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti, and like that you come. And there is a rapid path of bhakti yoga. It's available. So in Kali Yuga, the gradual path is not available only for all practical purposes. So the only rapid path up is available, and even more rapid path down is available. That's all that is available to us. So that's why, in one sense, Prabhupada has done a great kindness to us by giving purported focus on bhakti. Because all these levels of karma yoga, jnana yoga, they are not relevant for us at all. Yeah. It's true, but we are doing it with devotion. And that's why it's our authority and responsibility to engage in the kind of propensity. But our surrender is that we are ready to whatever we are told. So both are there. So as devotees, we should be ready to do whatever we are told. But authority and responsibility is to engage in the kind of propensity. If we demand that, then that's not exactly bhakti yoga. It isn't karma yoga. So, let's move ahead. Now Krishna describes that when a yogi has controlled his senses, what is his internal consciousness? So this is a very extraordinary verse. No, so that section got more. So now Krishna has told in the first section that karma yoga is equal to jnana yoga. So now he'll describe how it is equal, because the karma yogi also has jnana. So what is the jnana that karma yogi has? That is described. Just as the jnana is supposed to be sense control, mind control, intellect control, the karma yogi is also that. And then he says how the karma yogi is inactive internally. He is inactive internally. That's why he is like a jnana. That's described in this verse. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvave ashyan shunvan krishan vinnan ashnan gachan svapan swashan pralapan Indriya-indriya-theshu vartanta-iti-dhāvayan. This is the jnana's consciousness. He understands that actually I am not doing anything. It is that senses are coming in contact with sense objects. Now in this list, you can see there is a very complex level of consciousness. It's much easier to think, you know, this is Krishna's mercy and I am accepting Krishna's mercy. And you think I am not eating anything. Just the tongue is eating. You know, it's easier to remember Krishna while taking prasad than to remember that actually I am not eating. So bhakti yoga, that is much easier. So sukham kartum avyana, as you say. Of course, for anyone remembering Krishna is difficult. You just remember the taste of the prasadam. But relatively speaking, if at all we have to remember anything, remembering Krishna is much easier than remembering I am not the doer. Especially while doing it.
Evident? After doing actually, I was not able to. Possible to think about that. And it's very easy to think about that when we don't do it well also. But while doing it, it's very difficult to think of that. So, here Krishna, Chakravarti Pada explains that the first, Krishna is talking about the Jnanendriya. The second is talking about the Karmendriya. So, Pashyan, Shrunvan, Krishan, Grihinan, Ashman. These five are the Jnanendriyas. The Jnanendriyas we see, we hear, we take in from the external world. Pashyan, Shrunvan, Naiva Kinchit Karomiti Yukta Vandikati, Pashyan, Shrunvan, Krishan, Grihinan, Ashman. Then Gachyan, Swapan, Swashan. The remaining are Karmendriyas. Gachyan, Swapan, Swashan, Pralamban, Visrujan, Grihinan. So, in these, the remaining are the work of the Karmendriyas, except for Shwasan and Swapan. Shwasan and Swapan are the function of Prana. They are not the, like breathing. It's not a function of the Karmendriya or Jnanendriya. It's a thing function of the Prana body. And similarly, and the initial mission of the Ramanujari explains is the function of the secondary prana. I won't go into all the secondary prana to the next chapter at least. But there are five primary prana that we know. Prana, Pan, Yan, Samangura. There's the five secondary prana units. So actually, there is a disease in which people cannot close their eyelids. Today morning I was telling you, Ashesha Rujan Viroha. They cannot close their eyelids. It's horrible. Can you imagine? We just do it for just close their eyelids. But actually that is a function of a vayu. Actually the air causes the eyelids to move out. But the, you just you can't close the eyelids if you want to. And the people who try to forcibly close their eyelids and they try to sleep. You know, it's quite a complex thing to sleep with your eyes open. If you have to do that. You can do it in class maybe sometimes. But, but actually you have to sleep with your eyes open. So, the body has so many subtle mechanisms in it. So these are just the function of the indriyas. Nothing, I am not doing anything in this. So then what is happening? That is described in the next verse. So next verse is what we quote quite often. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyakva karotira nityatena sapapena padma patram vabhasa. So, Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani, all the work he offers to Brahman. Now, from the context, as we know, the word Brahman refers to the Supreme Lord, the word Brahman refers to Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman word also refers to the Mahatattva. Why Mahatattva? That usage will see in the 14th chapter, the verses 3 and 4, where Brahman refers to Mahatattva. But why? Because that is the seed from which material existence comes about. So from the context, this Brahman means that he offers. Okay, who is performing all these activities? It is that material nature that is performing all these activities. This is, you know, from his point of view. Prakriti kriyamanani, that verse is there. The mudra thinks that I am doing it. The jnani thinks I am not doing it. So all this is happening by the way of material nature. So Brahmanyadhaya Karmani. Okay. All this, who is doing it? It is just that Mahatattva which was unmanifested earlier. Now it is the manifest of the Indriya, it has become manifest of Indriya Vishaya. All that interaction is happening over here. And actually I am not doing it. And that is from the contextual point of view. Now, because till now, Krishna has not introduced Brahman as Bhagavan over here. But from the absolute point of view, from our point of view, that is fair to say that this verse also refers to karma. Because actually we become free. Also from the bondage of karma, if you offer the fruits of the world to Bhagavan. So Prabhupada and Chakravarti Pada take Brahman to refer to Bhagavan. Baldev Vidyabhushan takes it to refer to Mahatattva. But Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Karodita Lipyate Na Sapape Na. So Chakravarti Pada explains here, Pap includes Punya also. It's not only that this person is not bound by Pap, he's not bound by Punya also. Because even Pap, even Punya keeps us away from Krishna. As the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Punya is also a form of Paap. So if you take a general definition of Paap, The material definition of path is that which is in violation of the laws of God, that which does harm to others, and for which you get harm again. So from the spiritual point of view, anything that causes forgetfulness of Krishna is path. So this is the general definition. He is not affected by bad work, he is not affected by good work. Lippete nasa paape, you know. And padma patram ivambhasa, like a lotus feet. Water, like a lotus leaf, water on it. Now, this lotus leaf has been a subject of a lot of scientific investigation. And scientists have developed a facade called a lotus hand facade. Facade is what? Facade is not a show. Facade also means a front piece. So there are skyscraper buildings. There are skyscraper buildings, you have to clean them. How do you clean them? You have to have a ladder every day and a cleaner clean them. It's not practical. So what they do? They made the facade, they made the facade of lotus. They are studying the structure of a lotus leaf. And what is the structure? What are the chemical compositions? What is the arrangement? And they try to make the surface of the building like that. And then just pour water from top. And because water doesn't say water comes out, along with that, the particle also comes out. That's how they clean it. So they are using the Padma Patram Vamasa. So it's interesting that the same analogy can be used for multiple purposes. Kamala dala jala, jivana talamala, bhajahu haripadani niti. So, same analogy, that water does not stay on the lotus leaf. That is used there for what? To indicate the temporary nature of material existence, the fragile nature of material existence. Here this analogy is used to explain how the material activities do not have a lasting effect on the consciousness of a karma yogi. Because consciousness is like a lotus leaf. Slips off. The material activities don't create any impression. It slips off. Now, after describing this, he describes further how the karma yoga performs the karma yoga. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. Only for purity, Atma Shuddha, yeah. So then why we wonder, why do you have to be so complicated? Reactivity and detail, you can't do any activity. Better don't do any activity only. There's no. Do activity for the sake of purification. And Krishna emphasizes especially, kevala indriya irapi. So even the senses. The word keval means only the senses. So, Chakravarti Pada explains that if the karma yoga is not yet very purified, then while doing the karma yoga, his mind may wander. But at least his senses are engaged. Kevala indriya irapi, just like while chanting. You know, if a devotee's mind is wandering, we don't know. But when his senses stop moving, his head stops moving and they start moving, then he's sleeping. Then we wake him up. So at least kevala indriya irapi. Then at least the senses be engaged. At least the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to God. Of course, it's better to have other aspects also involved. But at least the external should be there. Because even the external brings some minimal level of spiritual connection and purification. And Krishna concludes this section by telling how the person who is acting in this way, because he is unselfish, he has no material motivation, he is pure. Yuktaha phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtikim ayuktaha kama karena phale tatto nibadhyate.
Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled.
Yuktaha karma phalam tyaktva. So he is connected with the higher principle, whatever it is, Brahman or Bhagavan, and he is therefore because of that he is shant. Ayukta, so he is not connected and he is very desirous of the fruits. What will happen? He is ayukta phalam. So what will happen is he will never ever be peaceful. He will be bound. So this is a very similar verse to Bhukti Mukti Ka Siddhi Kami Sakalaya Shant Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shant Shanti Mahapnoti Naishtika Unshakeable Peace. The peace of this world is always shakeable. But the peace of the spiritual world is unshakeable. In the Bible there is a phrase, by surrender to God you will attain the peace that passeth understanding. The peace that passeth understanding. even if you don't understand it, it is a next degree. So a devotee, he by surrender to Krishna, Maharaja Sulaiman recently, that when Prahlad Maharaj was thrown down from a cliff of a mountain, you know, he was more peaceful and joyful than what you will be sitting in your armchair watching India winning the World Cup. Why? Because it's internal peace, naishtiki shanti. External peace, external joy, it's not naishtiki. It is very asthai, it will come and it will go. So because of what causes lack of peace is the internal agitating desire. People think that God causes lack of peace is the family attacking, this person is problematic, this person is like that. So all of us know that pastime of Goldsmith. Goldsmith was the lawyer, the only respectable person who was coming to Prabhupada's programs in the early days. Prabhupada was in the 2nd Avenue. So Prabhupada was telling about how, you know, one should control sexual desire. So this Goldsmith said that, Swamiji, I have heard that it is because people artificially try to control their desires, that's why they erupt violently and they cause, that causes war. Because you know, war is caused because people are killing animals in it. That's a karmic reaction to that. Then he said, but I can't understand why God is telling us to fight. You know, God should want peace in this world, not violence in this world. So he said, because the whole background of Vietnam War was going on at that time. So he said, Prabhupada said, what is your idea of peace? The suffering of the question. Peace means absence of war. Prabhupada said, even if the war is absent, there are hundreds of things which will take away your peace. You cannot be peaceful. So this world, the only way we can be peaceful is by living in harmony with God. And but Arjuna in the battlefield, when he was shooting arrows and having arrows shot at them, he was more peaceful than a yogi meditating in the forest. Why? Because he was in at ease with Krishna. So that is shanti, ashtiki shanti. And that is attained by the harmony with the Supreme Lord. Do you remember it? Any question? Okay, what is the meaning of surrendering to Mahatattva? It doesn't mean, it means that actually it is Mahatattva only doing all the activity. Brahmanya adhaya karma. See, the idea is prakate kriyamanai karta ahamitumani. I am the doer. So you understand, I am not the doer, actually it is the Mahatattva. The material nature is an active. Brahmanya, it is seed from which material nature manifests. That's what it means. So, we have completed transaction. We'll have a, I think we are like out here quite tired. So we will have a 5 or 10 minute break. 10 minute break. Because the next section is a little philosophical. So please don't walk around, you'll just take rest for 10 minutes. Then we get back. And then we should complete this chapter by an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour. Basically, Bhagavad Vidya Bhushan is Govinda Bhashya analyzes who is actually the doer. Basically, Vedanta Sutra is an attempt to reconcile the apparently contradictory statements in the scriptures, especially the Upanishadic scriptures. For example, somewhere the Upanishads say that, you know, I am Atma Brahma. This Atma is Brahma. And some other places say, Nityo Nitya Anam Chetna Chetna Eko Bahunam Yogadhasi Kama. There is one supreme and there are other many subordinate souls. So like that, there are apparently contradictory statements in the Upanishads which say the Atma and Brahman are one, which say the Atma and Brahman are different. So this is just one example. So like that, there are many seemingly contradictory statements in the Upanishads. And the Vedanta Sutra attempts to reconcile that. And one of the contradictory statements which are there in the Upanishads is, apparently contradictory statements. These apparently contradictory statements are called in more accurately as paradoxes. Paradoxes means those which have a contradiction externally to convey a deeper meaning internally. Just like in this way the unborn Vishnu took birth. So now at face value this is contradictory, unborn and took birth. But this contradiction is not a contradiction, nor is it a mistake. It is meant to convey a deeper truth. That Lord who exists outside the time domain came within a time domain at a particular time. The unborn Vishnu took birth. So, like another contradiction which you can look at in the Bhagavad Gita is, in 11.53 Krishna is saying, Naham Vedais. You cannot know me by the Vedas. And then, Krishna says in 15.15, Vedaisha Sarvai Ahameva Vedyo. So one place he is saying, I cannot be known by the Vedas. Another place he is saying, the purpose of all the Vedas is to know me. This is contradictory. Apparently, it's not contradictory, it's paradoxical. Why is it paradoxical? Because yes, all the Vedas are meant to know Krishna. But the Vedas alone are not sufficient to know Krishna. Purnayate iti Puran. When our understanding of the Vedic scriptures becomes complete with the Puranas, then we can understand Krishna. So yes, that's why by Vedas alone, by Vedic study alone, we cannot understand Krishna. The Puranas teach us bhakti, and by that bhakti we can understand Krishna. These are not contradictions, they are paradoxes. And the paradoxes are meant to convey a deeper truth. So, one of the paradoxical set of statements that are there in the Upanishads is that many statements say the soul is not the doer. The soul has nothing to do with what is happening in the material world. And what is happening to the body or with the body, the soul has nothing to do with it. And there are other statements which say that the soul is responsible. The soul is doing all these things. Soul has to do this. Soul should not do this. So, how are these to be reconciled? Who is the actual doer? So, the study of causality is a branch of philosophy. It is called as etiology. This word is an etiology. It is the study of causality. Who is the actual cause? Who is the actual doer? So, like that famous riddle is there, that when the bird came and sat on the tree, the fruit fell down. So what is the cause? You know, this is a typical useless etiological problem. Why? Because there are three possibilities. One is that the bird flew away and the fruit fell down. Not the bird came and sat on the tree. The bird flew away from the tree and the fruit fell down. So what? Maybe the bird flew away. Because of that, the weight got imbalanced and that's why the fruit fell. Or, because the fruit fell, that created a motion, the bird got frightened, that's why it flew away. Or, all the three are unconnected events. All the two are unconnected events. And the two separate events happened by their own accord. So what is the actual cause? So Prabhupada uses this example for the fall of the jiva. Don't bother about it. Now what came first? Did envy come first and the fall came, or did fall come first and then envy came? Don't bother. You have fallen here, that's important, now get out of here. Yeah, that Mahavir wrote an article. Don't figure it out, get out. Don't figure it out, get out. So sometimes etiology can just become like paralysis by analysis. What is this? Is it like this? But there are some etiological problems which are worth considering. So, for example, if whoever blew up the WBC. Is he the cause, or is Osama bin Laden the cause, or is America's materialist, America's funding Osama bin Laden by which he became powerful, that is the cause, or is America's Western culture, materialistic culture, which Islam sees as an aggression on his religious culture, is that the cause, or is it the fundamentals of Islam that is the cause? All this will be community of which. Who is the actual cause? What is the actual cause? So from our point of view philosophically, this section will be what is the cause. Now there are among the five tattvas which Baldevi Devotion explains is what is dealt with in the Bhagavad Gita. What are the five tattvas? Jeev, Ishwar, Kal, Karma and Prakriti. Now among these, karma is activity. Now we are trying to understand who is it that does the karma. Now Kal is not just time. Prabhupada uses the word eternal time. So, time is the energy of the Lord which causes changes in this world. And what we see as time, what is the time now? That actually is the change caused by Kala. We can't see Kala. Kala is the impersonal form of the Absolute. So three tattvas, which one of them is called in the karma, is Jeev, Ishvara and Prakriti. Is it the soul, is it the Lord, or is it material nature? So that will be analyzed in this section. So we will recite these four verses first, we will discuss these four, we will read these four verses, and then we will analyze the philosophical problem of it. So, why are we suddenly discussing all this? The previous section was that the Karma Yogi also has Jnana, by which he doesn't think that he is the doer. Now, if he doesn't think he is the doer, then who is the doer? A natural question comes up. And how is it that the Karma Yogi, just by thinking I am not the doer, will he become not responsible for his karma anymore? That's what is the question. So, what is it about Karma Yoga that frees the Karma Yogi from bondage to karma? That's what is the answer. Let's start with the 13th verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi eva kurvanna karayan. Sorry, that was 31, no? So, here Krishna is introducing a new analogy of a pura. Pura is a city. Navadwara pura, the nine gates. Say the nine gates? Nine holes, the two eyes, the two ears, the mouth, and the two excretory organs. So, see, now to enable us to get an idea of the detachment which the jnani or the karma yogi has towards the happenings of the body, or the happenings to the body, giving the example of a city. Currently, we are staying in Nagar. Nagar may have some entrance to it. Maybe from the southern side, maybe from one enters on Nasik side, one enters on the Pune side, one enters on the Mumbai side. Now we are sitting in another city, but are we really bothered which how many vehicles are coming inside another from which gate, how many vehicles are going out from which gate? We are not really bothered. Because, you know, we understand that we don't have to do much with this another. We are just sitting in one place over here. So, like that, the soul just understands that I am sitting inside this body, and all these things are happening in the body. Certain sensory impressions are coming in, certain sensory impulses are going out. So, sarva karmai manasa sanyasya. The karma is happening, but the mind thinks that I am not doing it. Manasa sanyasya. And if you can do this, sukham vashi. You can be peaceful in this body. Why? Because whenever there is heat or cold, this body feels irritated. You understand, it's not happening to me. There's nothing to do with me. It's very difficult to think like that. But if one can think like that, then one is unaffected by the events around the time. So this is talking about mentally renouncing the work. And what happens? Such a person is not doing anything. Now in the next verse, Krishna elaborates this verse further. Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabho karma palasan yogam svabhavastu pravartate. So now, in this word, the word Prabhu is used. Now, Prabhu can mean the Supreme Lord. Generally, when we say, so and so Prabhu has come, people don't think Prabhu in terms of God. So they think that we are all Mayavadis. We are calling each other as Prabhu. We are trying to them. Otherwise, because they don't even understand, there will be also called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, and another Prabhu. So for new people, it's very confusing sometimes. But Prabhu is used here to refer to the soul. Because he is living in the body, he is the controller of the body. And the next verse, Krishna will use the word Vibhu. Vibhu is using for the Supersoul. So, he is saying over here, Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati Prabhu. That soul, he doesn't do anything, nor does he cause others to do anything. Then who is doing all this? Svabhavastu pravartate. Now, Svabhava is the word which is coming for the first time. Shreyaan Svadharma Vuna Paradharma Svarishitata. So Svadharma was there, but Svabhava. So, Swabhav Vaidya Vidyabhushan analyzes elaborately. Swabhav is more, is something like, it's not, in one sense, it's not the Atma has its Swarupa, which is only the spiritual condition. But when he comes in the material world, he gets a psychophysical nature. That is Swabhava. So material nature. So he explained it's not just psychophysical nature, it is a deep rooted impulses caused by the impressions of our past karma. The deep rooted impulses caused by impressions of our past karma. That means, you know, when a conditioned soul sees a woman, what happens? He gets attracted, he gets agitated. Why? Because the deep rooted impressions are there. And from where are the impressions coming? From the karma from the past, this life or past life. So this is one aspect of Swabhava. So the Swabhava basically means the mechanism of material nature by which the body and the mind operate. So it is Swabhava vastu pravartate. Actually all this is answered by Swabhava, material nature. But now Arjuna greatly got the question that actually the Swabhava is material nature is dead. If material nature is dead, if material nature is not acting and Krishna is saying that actually the soul is not doing it, who must be doing it? Super soul must be doing it. So the super soul is the controller of everything, the Lord is the controller. So is he the doer? That's Krishna clarifies in the next verse. Nādatte kasyacit pāpam nacaiva kutam vidho agyānena avritam jñānam tena muhyanti jantavaha. So now, Krishna is introducing a fourth party here apparently. Krishna is saying that the soul is not the doer, material nature is not the doer, the super soul is not the doer, the Ajnana is the doer. Now what is this Ajnana? Ajnane avritam jnanam. This Ajnana is covered by Ajnana and tena muhyanti jantavaha. Muhyanti is jantavaha, jantavaha, the living being. Muhyanti is bewildered. And then in the next verse Krishna will describe how one becomes free from that Ajnana. So let's go to that word and then we'll discuss the concept a bit more. Jnanena sutad ajnanam yesham nashitam atmanaha yesham adityavat jnanam prakashayati tatparam.
However, one is enlightened with the imagination to destroy, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime.
So, he's saying that ajnan, the living entity is deluded and he does various activities because of ajnana. But when there will be jnana, there will be no more activities anymore. So now that seems very obvious in one. Jnana is there, ajnana will not be there. When light is there, darkness will not be there. What is that? The master of BTG, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya hai andhakar. Jaha Krishna, aha nahi Maya andhakar. So, what is this jnana and ajnana? That he elaborates on that. Ajnana is Maya, ajnana is Krishna. So, here Krishna is in one sense using cryptic language. Because what is that jnana exactly? What is that ajnana? How does it cause the soul to get deluded? No, there is a background philosophy which Arjuna understands also. And because of which Arjuna is able to grasp. So, that's what we will discuss. Basically, as there are three factors which are involved in action. The jiva, ishvara and prakriti. So, Vaidya Vidyabhushan gives the example of a tree. I'll give my poor drawing. This is an axe. This is a woodcutter. So, the tree is to be cut. Using the axe to cut the tree. So, Baldev Vidyabhushan takes that analogy primarily to explain who is the doer. And he says, you can say for argument say that the axe cuts the tree. Why? Because the axe is doing the physical act of cutting. But at the same time, the axe is dead. The axe is dead and the axe is not cut on his own. You can say the woodcutter is cutting the tree. But if the woodcutter did not have that, if he has to beat with his hand, he would only break his hand, he would not break the tree. So for the fulfilling the action of breaking the tree, what all is required? The woodcutter and the axe. Both are required. So, he says that sometimes the scripture says Prakriti itself is the doer, sometimes the soul is the doer. So actually, if we want to do anything in the material world, the material nature is the essential agency. If I want to do any service in the material world, if I want to sing, if I want to speak, now my throat has to be functional. Even pure devotees, even exalted devotees, their body is dysfunctional. They cannot be able to do service. Why? Because for acting in the material world, the material body or the material nature is essential, to a large extent, indispensable. So therefore, to say that material nature is the doer is not wrong, because the action cannot get done without the material nature. At the same time, to say that material nature is doing is not fully correct, because material nature is inert. So, on the other hand, to say the soul is the only doer, that is also wrong, because the soul cannot do without material nature. So therefore, when we say that some scriptures say the soul is the doer, some scriptures may say that the material nature is the doer. What is the understanding? Both of them together are doing. So how are they doing together? So as we know this, all of you know this triangle, isn't it? Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. So, this whole thing is the conditioned soul. Super soul is the heart, he has a Prakriti, that is the body. So based on the external desires, external impressions that come in. So what happens? We reach the soul, the jiva desires. So when the jiva desires, after seeing the desire, what does the Ishvara do? Sanctions. So, the executors. So actually, this arrow, instead of putting it this way, you could all put this arrow this way also. The jiva desires, super soul sanctions, material nature executes. So, I'll explain this. Why the arrows can be put in both ways. For example, if a person wants to, say you want to go to pilgrimage and you want to climb up Tirumalai Hills, which is the Vedic version of Balaji. So jiva desires, I want to climb up. Now physically you will not have the strength. You will not have the stamina or capacity. If the desire is strong, the super soul sanctions. The super soul sanctions, then you get that reserve strength, you get that stamina, and you are able to execute it. So now, in most cases, all this happens instantaneously. And because it happens instantaneously, you don't realize how complicated it is. But all this is going on here. In fact, to some extent, the scientists try to do some research. As I was telling yesterday, that science not only is not studying spirit, it is not even studying subtle matter. It is only studying gross matter. So, you know, there are these people who are very good singers. We have wonderful singers like Mandivadhar Prabhu, Inda Chaitanya Prabhu, Murari Bhagwan Prabhu, so many other ones, Akshaya Prabhu, all very good singers. So now, scientists try to find out, okay, what is this that makes certain people's throats so sweet? See, you know, they did analysis of the voice chords. You take the voice chord out of a person is an excellent singer, and a person who is a pathetic singer. And the voice chord is the same. There is no difference in the voice chords. Maybe there is some difference in the sense that certain people's lungs capacity is more, so that they can sing for a longer time, sing at a louder pitch. So the physical capacity difference is there. But that physical capacity is not related with the melodiousness of the voice, the sweetness of the voice. So, in fact, what to speak of sweetness, to make any voice at all is nearly impossible. Because when we speak, like I have this computer program which reads out text. And if any of you have seen it, it is quite boring to hear it, unless you are determined to hear. Why? Because it can, to some extent, decode, okay, this particular letter pattern, this particular shape indicates, I should produce this sound. But it cannot bring any emotions. And by emotions, there will be inflections, there will be modulations, there will be pauses. It cannot bring any of these. The only emotion it brings out is whatever the exclamation. You speak louder and faster. That's all. That's the only emotion it can bring about. It cannot bring out anything else. So, why I was discussing this is that this the science, when it tries to analyze why one person has a sweet voice, its reach goes only till the gross sensory organ of the mouth. But along with the gross sensory organ, there is a subtle sense of speech. And by our purva janma karma, that subtle sense of speech we are endowed. So that subtle sense of speech is something which is beyond the reach of science. It cannot understand a subtle sense of speech at all. So anyway, if somebody wants to, as I said, climb up a mountain or climb up a do some Herculean activity, so it's all these things are happening internally. And science will get some idea of how complex it is. Because when you have to simulate speech, now how this computer does the speech is, I did a little bit of research, that what they do is, they take, first of all they take one ordinary male, and they make him speak all letters, A, B, C, D, E, and then they make him speak all common letters, A, N, D, B, E. So they first make an ordinary human being do that. Then they try to make computer replicate the sound. Then they try to make the computer replicate the combinations of sounds. And after making the computer replicate the combinations of sound, they test the computer's capacity to replicate unexpected combinations of sounds. Because when it comes to Sanskrit word, it doesn't expect, you know, if it gets Bhagavan, so it's Bhagavan, Bhagavan, it doesn't understand anything. So, and after that, when it is able to read out unexpected sound letter combinations also properly, then they have the good sound. So all this goes into the mechanism of replicating speech or producing speech. So now when we speak, we don't at all think about all these things. I just want to speak, and I speak. Actually to speak, even from the level of the computer synthesis point of view, even from the biological point of view, speech is an enormously complicated activity. Why? Because every letter that has to be sounded, the voice calls have to move in a particular way. You know, when I'm speaking so many words so fast, but all the words they are speaking, they are, every single sound, the mouth has to move in a particular way, the voice cord has to release a particular amount of air, has to hold back a particular amount of air, and after that the sound comes out. So we don't even think about it, we just want to speak and we speak. So how does it happen? It happens because of the material nature's arrangement which is created by the super soul. So to some extent by contemplating on this, you can start understanding that I am not the doer actually. That is so complicated. Now one thing we can easily understand is, when I eat I don't digest the food. Because many times we explain that food doesn't get digested. Then we understand I am not the digester. But most of the times when we want to speak, we are able to speak. We think yes, I am the speaker. But there is a lot of complicated mechanism. And if the prakriti does not work, the agency does not work, when the super soul doesn't sanction, then it will not be able to speak. Now let's go over these four verses once again. So sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi. Okay, I am not the doer. Who is doing? Material nature is doing. So material nature is doing. How is material nature doing? Material nature is doing because our body is to some extent a computer program. Modern scientists try to say that we are all genetically programmed. We are all genetically programmed. That's why when a man sees a woman, he feels lust. When certain people are more short-tempered, why? Because it's in their genes. Yes, now see, all of us, our body is genetically programmed, but it's not a compulsory program. The program of our body and our mind pushes us, but it doesn't force us. What is the difference between pushing and forcing? Pushing, but we can counter-push. Yes, when a man sees a woman, he'll naturally feel attraction. Naturally point of view of material nature, not spiritual nature. But he has the capacity to resist. you know, if all of us were just genetically programmed, then both in the scriptural point of view and the ordinary point of view, there will be no meaning to order in life. One person goes and slaps another person. Why? My genes told me. My genes will tell you to slap me again. And he will slap him back. We consider people responsible for their actions. We consider people responsible for their actions. The whole principle of law is based on responsibility. Human beings should not behave like this, they should behave. So if all of us, so the atheistic view, the scientistic view, scientism is the scientism. If we are communism, so science, only scientism comes. Scientism is the view that science can explain all of reality. There is no knowledge which cannot be acquired by science. So scientism leads to complete moral breakdown. Because you can't explain anything. You can't hold anyone responsible for it. Because whatever they are doing by just their genes. So, therefore, at a material level, it is chaotic. As a Swabhavavad doesn't talk about genes. Swabhavavad talks about subtle impressions in the mind. Subtle impressions will force us to act in particular ways. So, even if I am a devotee or I am a non-devotee, my voice is in a particular way. And somebody else's voice, Murari Bhagavan's voice is different. What is the reason for this difference? The reason for this difference is my Swabhav and his Swabhav is different. Swabhav is different because our past karma is different. So, who is the actual doer? The material nature is doing, but a living entity triggers the activity by his desires. So, it's like all of you are able to hear all this thing? So, how it is? It's like there are multiple programs on. If you have seen how a computer, how a plane flies on autopilot, now there are multiple sets of control panels, and you press one set of buttons, and then the plane will start moving towards the left. Other set, the plane will start moving towards the right. Another thing, you move straight like that, or up or down. So like that, there is a Satvaguna program, there is a Rajaguna program, there is a Tamaguna program. So what does the soul do? The soul chooses. So once the soul chooses, the program will run on its own. He can't stop it after that to a large extent. So the soul is chooses, who is doing the activity of desire. But afterwards, the program runs on its own. So I desire to speak, and then speech starts. I desire to do a particular activity. It happens. So, the soul is held responsible because he is a desirer. Although he is not the doer, he is a desirer. And because he is a desirer, he is held responsible. So, ultimately, all that we can do is change, try to change our desires. And bhakti changes our desires. And once our desires change, our actions will also gradually change. Which experience? Good question. So if we eat gulab jamun, are you craving gulab jamun there?
That's why you're talking about gulab jamun.
Anyway, whatever. So is that an illusion or is that a reality? It's an important question. It is an illusory reality. No, what does it mean? From the absolute point of view, it's an illusion. It's like a person who is watching a TV and he's experiencing some emotions. The hero is getting beaten. You know, he feels I am beaten. The hero is embracing the heroine. He starts doing music. So, now actually there's nothing happening to him. But as long as he's watching the television, for him the emotion is there. So, you know, as long as we are in the bodily conception of life, for us the emotions are real. So Maya is actually all this world is illusion. It's illusion, you can call it illusion, but it has a real effect on us. You know that story. And the earlier story, but this whole world is illusion. So there is one young hippie who was coming. What this family said, this whole world is illusion. And there is a wall. This wall is illusion, my head is illusion. So I walk through that wall. Let us see. Here is all illusion. Everything is
everything is illusion, everything is illusion, everything is illusion. Boom! You made a hit. Ah, you kind of said, hey, Swamiji, you said that is what? Then you had a big bump on your head. And then Prabhupada, what happened then? He said, Swamiji, you only told me everything is illusion. I walked into a wall and it just happened. It doesn't seem to be illusion.
Prabhupada said, it is an illusion from the absolute point of view. For us it is real. It is illusory. The wall is temporary, your head is temporary. But while both of them are temporarily existing, what happens to us is a real impression. That's why, you know, if everything is illusory, there is no need for tolerance. Krishna says, Mastam Titiksha Sobharata. Because for us it is real. So, as long as the soul identifies with the body, for the soul the experience is real. So that's why, you know, we can't just say, oh, Janma Sujara Gadi. It's just illusion. Don't bother, there's no suffering. As long as I'm attached to the body, Janma Sujara Gadi is really suffering. And scriptures tell us, understand that this is suffering. And somebody says, why are you talking about the suffering? Even you as a devotee will also have to suffer Janma Sujara Gadi. Yes, but we are not saying that Janma Sujara Gadi will go away for a devotee. What we are saying is, the misery of Janma Sujara Gadi will decrease for a devotee because he doesn't identify with the body. So what the scriptures tell us is, understand the misery of this body and withdraw it. How identify this with the body? So as long as we are in this world, the miseries of this world are real. And we have to understand that they are real. And are the pleasures real? Yes, to the extent we consider the pleasures to be real, to the extent the miseries will be real for us. But to the extent we delight in sense gratification, in material pleasures, to that extent material miseries will be real for us. To the extent we stay away from sense gratification, what will happen is our consciousness will rise more and more above the body and breath. And to that extent, when material miseries come, we will not suffer because of those miseries. So at our level, we begin by recognizing that this world is miserable. And therefore, I should get out of this world. This body is miserable, I should try to get out of this body. And while the miseries keep coming, I tolerate it. From the absolute point of view, the soul has nothing to do with this body. But from the relative point of view, from our explanation point of view, it is real. Okay? Now we have to have moderators to check questions, but I'll answer this question and we have to be after that. Okay. About this. See, we have to see, like what is material and what is spiritual. It is there one thing from a constitutional point of view and another from an applicational point, isn't it? So, the pure devotee's body is spiritual from the application point of view. Pure devotee's body is also made up of the part of fire and flow. So, we should not confuse these two and think that is constitutionally or compositionally material, we call it spiritual. In the sense of it being compositionally spiritual, it is not compositionally spiritual. So like that, the gulab jamun, it's the pleasure and the pain that we get. Pleasure that we get by eating a gulab jamun. You know, it is illusory in the sense that it perpetuates our emotion. If we get that taste, it feels very nice, we want to eat more, and our consciousness gets dragged in material existence more and more. But that same taste of gulab jamun, if while eating gulab jamun we are remembering Krishna, because Krishna has tasted it, so it is so sweet. And then, that remembrance of Krishna will free us from it. Prabhupada said, it's quite frightening, that if the desire is only given one gulab jamun, you will have to come back to this world. There is no saying that the gulab jamun prasad will come back to you prasad. I am not talking like that. So the point is, if we are delighting in the pleasure with remembrance of Krishna, then it's liberating. There is no remembrance of Krishna, it is entanglement. So, I will summarize this point once again, and then we will move forward to the next section. The important point, important section. So, who is the doer actually? The soul is the doer in the sense that the soul is the desirer. The super soul is the doer in the sense that the soul is the sanctioner. And the body is the doer in the sense that the body is the executor. Now the super soul, he sanctions according to our desire. Moreover, he is not responsible.
And who is responsible? The soul responsible or is the body responsible? Now, the body has its own inbuilt programs. That means, in a certain bodies, when I'm using the word body, I'm using the word body and mind combined together. Certain people, their psychophysical nature is irritable. They get angry very quickly. Certain people, they're very lethargic. Some people are hyperactive. So now that is their bodily program, which they have got from their past karma. So ultimately they are only responsible because they did the past karma in the past. But that is the program that is there now. And we are the soul who is trying to develop pure spiritual desires. So the bodily program will push us, but it will not force us. So when we do something, it is because we choose. That's why it happens. And that's why we are considered responsible. So, in the case of the jnani, you know, the bodily program which pushes the person to fulfill various desires, he abandons it. And the basic bodily program of just basic eating, basic walking, basic seeing, whatever is there, like you are asking, what is the jnani allowed to do? So, all this is allowed to do. Pashyan, Surman, Pishan, Jigran. Because even in the jungle he has to do it. And of course, he is talking about karma yoga doing these things. But in the jungle he has to do these things. But he is doing it only for basic existence, not for fulfilling his desires. Then he is not considered to be bound. You are considered to be attached or entangled. So at our level, we don't go into all this analysis. What we try to do is, whatever we do, we try to connect with Krishna. Whenever we try to see the opportunity to serve Krishna. Whenever we talk, we try to talk about Krishna. Whenever we hear, we try to hear about Krishna. And in that way, it is the easier, simpler and more joyful path. And Krishna will come to this later. So, yes, sir.
As far as we understand the word doer, because it's only living. So, specifically, as you referred to Buddha, Hari is talking about this matter. So, it's not doer at all. It's like, it's not conscious. But if you say Durga, or if you say Shiva Dasha, we can make things to that. That way there is something to
say. Well, to say matter is dead is a very simplistic statement. It is dead, no doubt, but it is not just dead. In the sense that, material nature is not just like dead matter, it is a program. Isn't it? The computer has within it inbuilt programs. And different programs will run depending on what I choose. If I choose Microsoft Word, something will run. If I choose Excel, something else will run. If I open Outlook, something else will run. So then all these programs are inbuilt in it. You can say it's all dead. It's not just, the computer is not just dead matter, like this program. It's a very sophisticated form of dead matter, which when activated can act in very specialized ways. Isn't it? So like that, the body is not just plain dead matter. It's matter organized in very systematic ways while it can do certain functions. So, now, it's like, now when I start an open word, you know, I just press one command of opening word. But after that, so many things are happening inside the computer of which I have no knowledge. So, the point here is that, yes, matter is dead. But matter itself has its own program. And when the soul chooses a particular program, then things are acting first. It's a Rajaguna program, Tamaguna program, Satvaguna program. Whatever the soul chooses, the work starts happening accordingly. So, now, ultimately, because the soul is choosing that kind of a thing, it will happen. Yes, that is true. But here, when we are analyzing how a Karma Yogi doesn't get bound, the emphasis is that the Karma Yogi has no desire. When the Karma Yogi has no desire, still certain basic activities will go on. Like it is said, no? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, he was in such ecstasy that he would eat and sleep just as a matter of duty. He was not even conscious. For us, we hear and chant as a matter of duty. For him, chanting is not saying. They are ecstatic pastimes. Relational pastimes. For us, eating and sleeping are relational pastimes. Isn't it? Look forward to that. When will I do this thing? So, it's a matter of the focus of the consciousness. That's why when we say that the soul, ultimately body is not the doer, soul is only the doer, material nature is not the doer. But material nature has certain programs which do many things which the soul doesn't even comprehend. For example, when a person becomes lusty, and how the hormones start getting secreted in the reproductive organ, and how that person starts feeling excited sexually, and how ejection takes place, erection takes place, all those things. And the ordinary person doesn't know that all. He just feels it's happening. So there is that lusty desire in the mind. After that, so many things follow. That, in the sense, the soul is not doing that. It is just a chain reaction which goes ahead and goes ahead and goes ahead. Because the soul is the trigger for the thing. Soul's desire is the trigger. So you can say the soul is the doer. But there is a lot more happening. Only the soul does not have control, which Prakriti is. So yes, Prakriti is, that is dead because it cannot do anything on its own. But within that deadness, there is a lot of sophisticated programming. So once the trigger is given, a lot can happen. Okay? Yes. Yeah. The Lord is overseeing, the Lord is under the 31st century, let's say that. Very janitor chapter, in the chapter. But here, what we are trying to understand is, Krishna is saying, Ajnane Navratam Jnanam Prema Mohinam Sitantala. Who is the cause of everything happening? His soul is not happening. The super soul is not happening. Who is in Swabhava? What is the Swabhava? He is another word, Ajnana. Like today morning I was talking about the engine of the towboat and the engine of the ship. So, the soul has its natural life and natural spiritual desire. And the soul has a current, my conditioned mind and its conditioned desire. So what is happening is, the soul has chosen this material program now. And that is why. So his desires are fueling, spinning that engine. So that is what is happening now. So, the soul is the desirer, in that sense the soul is the doer. The material nature, after the desire comes, it has a lot of sophisticated existence. That is the doer. But of course, neither can the soul desire, nor can material nature execute, unless the Supreme Lord is involved. Supreme Lord is always there. And in material nature especially, the system by which material nature works is arranged by the Lord. So it's like a computer, sophisticated programming of word, or Excel, or Outlook. It's all done by something. Like that, how the body system works, and then by the Supreme Lord. That's correct. Okay. So, should we go ahead or should we stop? Complete? Next section is not so tough, no? So now, till 16, Krishna describes that you will become free from Ajnana. And if you are free from Ajnana, then you will not be bound by karma. Now he will talk about how one can become. So from here, the focus is changing. So the word of Krishna is Vibhu. That Vibhu is referred to in the next verse as Tad. That. Tad buddhayas tad atmanas tan vishas tad parayanaha kachantya punaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. So, jnana is all the things are impurities are removed by jnana. But when this jnana is not just theoretical, it's four things we have involved. First of all, it affects our intelligence on the Supreme Lord. After the intelligence, it also affects the mind. Intellectually, we have convinced that Krishna is equal, but still the mind is under. Fix the mind also. And then after fixing the mind also, the Buddha Saratmana Sanishta. It has faith. It has that satisfied. You go back to sleep, you're really happy. That's parayana. Like that Supreme Lord is my ultimate goal of life. These four things are there. Actually, absorption is in all these four things. Intelligence, mind, faith and goal. When all these four are focused on the Lord, then you become absorbed. For example, academic scholar is study. His intelligence is there. He studies Bhagavad Gita also. But his goal is what? It's sanctity. It's not going back to his future. So, and materialistic people, they may also chant the mantras. So their intelligence is there, the mind is there. But the faith is also there, this process will work. But what is their goal? Their goal is by chanting all these mantras, I'll get nothing. Their goal is not Krishna. So in this sense, Krishna is saying, Tad Buddha Sudhatmana. So the mind and intelligence we offer to Krishna, and then after that, the goal and the faith, these are not faculties of the intelligence and the mind, they are faculties of the soul, heart. So everything we offer to Krishna when we get. The Gyan is talked about is spiritual knowledge, it is realized knowledge. And purify us. And what will happen? My Lord has not come, the has not returned. And then, when one is, in this way, fixed his internal consciousness on the super soul, how does he see this world? That is described in the next verse. We quote this verse many times, but this comes in a very specific context. That the context is that a person who has fixed his mind on the super soul, he is able to see everything equally. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavirastini chuni chaiva shvapate cha pandita samadarshinah. So now this samadarshinaha, sama refers to two things. At the external level, sama refers to that, now vidya vinaya sampanna, the first line describes the brahmana having goodness. Gavi hastini refers to animals. Shuni jari vasha bhakti, that is actually, I'm one of ignorance. So the whole spectrum of goodness, passion, ignorance is described here. Now sometimes we say that among animals, certain animals are in goodness, certain animals are in passion, certain animals are in ignorance. Like which is the animal in passion? Tiger. Ignorance? Monkey. And goodness?
Cow.
Yeah. So I'll come to that. So, now when you say cow is in goodness, cow is still an animal. So that is actually, it is ignorant goodness, ignorant passion, ignorant ignorance. You know, within ignorance also there are grades. So, if you animal body means there is ignorance only already. So, basically Krishna is saying the whole spectrum. From animal species, so Krishna is telling you know that realistic elephant is often considered to be goodness. He's giving the spectrum. And among animals, elephant is in goodness, dog is in ignorance. Among human beings, Brahmana is in goodness, the dog is in ignorance. A cow is also in goodness. So he's giving the whole spectrum of living beings, human and non-human. He's saying, a person sees all of the equally, samadarshina. But Chakravarti Pada says that sama has a deeper meaning. Sama means equal. And the Lord has a samadushti. Samoham sarvabhute, Shri Krishna will say. So samadarshina means not just see everyone equally, but seeing that Lord who is equal to him. That is samadarshina. So, he sees that that Lord is situated in the hearts of everyone. And that's why he sees everyone equally. And this is the understanding that Srila Prabhupada takes and elaborates in the purport. Samadarshinaha means, he sees the Lord who is sama, who is equal, who is, has an equal vision, who is equal towards everyone. And that's why he is samadarshinaha. Yeah, so now, as when the transition is happening, till now it is, till verse 16 is described, how the Karma Yogi will not become bound. Chakravarti Pada has described that from here there is a transition. Atma Gyan at best can ensure that one doesn't become bound. But Atma Gyan cannot bring liberation. For liberation, there has to be some amount of bhakti involved and there has to be Bhagavan involved. That's why that starting in Tadbhutya Tadatmanas. You see, this is practically the same as Vanmana Bhavamad Bhaktam Abhyaji, isn't it? You know, put your, fix your mind, fix your intelligence, fix your heart, faith, fix your goal. Practically bhakti. But this may not be Shuddha Bhakti because the goal may not be Bhagavan. This Karma Yoga does not know Bhagavan till now. His goal is mukti, his goal is liberation. So it may not be, in that sense it's not Shuddha Bhakti. We are not talking about Jnani at all in this chapter now. Karma Yoga. Correct. Yes, yes, yes. Now, in fact, this is describing the perfection. It's describing three verses, you know, 17, 18, 19, perfection. And the process by which that perfection is achieved, we'll be talking about the Krishna later. So one of the processes by which one can come to that vision is Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga will come in the next chapter. So Karma Yoga itself, it culminates, the ultimate culmination is that. That vision of the source. But Karma Yoga, it has to be accompanied either by Bhakti or by Jnana Yoga to lead to that vision. So by Jnana, one can only come to Atma or at best Brahman. But by Jnana, one cannot reach to Bhagavan or even Paramatma, by Jnana. By Jnana, one can come only to Brahman. So now, the next verse will describe the glory of this equal vision. So first is, you become fixed on the Super Soul, then you can develop equal vision towards the thing of this world. Once you have been able to equal vision, what happens? Ihai vatair jitaha sargo yesham samne sthitam manah nirdosham hisamam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthitah. Ihaiva means here in this world itself, Chittaha Sargo. Sarga is creation, material existence. Once one has developed this equal vision, Krishna has gone up and this person already conquered material existence. They have gone beyond material existence because they are situated in the spiritual platform, they are situated in Brahman. That means they are as good as liberated. Now, after describing this perfect stage, by equal vision one attains liberation. Then Krishna says how one can come to that level. Na praharishet priyam praapya, na dvijet praapya cha priyam, sira buddhir asam mudha, brahma vit brahma nishtitaha. Commonly what we discussed several times, to be equal voice to it, pleasant and unpleasant thing. It came into 156 also. So Keshav is not Keshav to the sport. But the living part is interesting. That is now added over here. Earlier it was Vita Raga Hai Kot. What is added over here? Sira Buddhi is the same. Asam Mudho. That is also but Brahma Vit Brahma is Taha. He knows Brahman and he is situated in Brahman. And as a person, now the next what is it that will take a person away from this Brahman, what will take a Radhata away from this spiritual realization? That is material pleasure. And how to deal with that material pleasure is described in the next four verses. So, these verses, as I said, is a transition from Sadhaka to Seeker. They apply as from the Siddha to the Sadhaka. From the Seer to the Seeker. So, Bhayasparsheshva Saktatma Vindatyatmaniya Sukham Sabrahma Yoga Yuktatma Sukham Akshaya Ashnute. Asakta. Now there are two words in Sanskrit very similar, asakta and asakta. It's one dash above or one dash on the side if you're writing in English or Sanskrit and the whole dimension is. He is not asakta, one is asakta. And what does he do? Vindati atmaniya sukham, delights within the self. So Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma, sukham What is the kind of sukha? Akshaya. So akshaya means that which is never gets deteriorated, that is which is never destroyed. It is like avyaya, imperishable. And Krishna compares akshaya sukha with the next sukha. But an important point which Prabhupada says is the Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. Prabhupada translates that as he concentrates on the Supreme. So actually, to a large extent, we will find in our Krishna consciousness, our spiritual happiness depends on our concentration. In any activity, whether it is chanting, or whether it is kirtan, or whether it is shravana, whether it is swadhyaya, our spiritual happiness depends on concentration. If there is no concentration, there is no happiness. Even the most ecstatic kirtans might be going on. Even the most beautiful Diti Darshan might be there. But what will happen? If our concentration is not there, we cannot have any happiness. Because experience Krishna. Because what happens? So experience sense gratification also to some extent concentration is required. But because sense gratification is very external, superficial, you know, the concentration becomes much easier over there. But because Krishna consciousness is deeper, they require more effort to concentrate. But without concentration, there is no pleasure at all. Without concentration, we just often find Krishna consciousness very boring. And in fact, the whole joy of Shastric study comes to some extent through absorption. And what does absorption mean? There can be many means of absorption, but the primary meaning, if you look at scripture, of absorption is spontaneous connection. Spontaneous connection. Now, as soon as Akrura, while he's going to Vrindavan, he sees the dust of Vrindavan. What happens? Spontaneously connects the dust of Vrindavan with so many memories. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as soon as he sees a river, spontaneously connects with Yamuna. So the spontaneous connection is also ultimately based on concentration. Therefore, Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. After telling that a person does not delight in external pleasure, he gets Akshaya Sukha. And he compares that with the other kind of happiness, material happiness. Well known words. Yehi samsparshaya bhoga sukhayonaya evate adyantavantah kaunteya.
An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses, ocean of thinking, such pleasure, the beginning and ending. And so the wise man does not deny him.
This is interesting, this verse is very amazing. Now Krishna is not talking about giving up material pleasure because of its karmic consequences. He is not saying if you enjoy, you will suffer, so give it up. You know, it's a very gross level. He is saying, even if you try to enjoy, it's temporary. Therefore, don't give it
up. Right? Because he is talking about a very advanced level of seeker.
I want eternal happiness. Yes, this happiness is there, and even if that happiness comes without any consequence, it's not possible. A lot of complications and consequences are there. But Krishna is not talking about all that. What is dukkha yoni? Dukkha yoni is adyanta. At the beginning, at the end. As contrast to that, akshaya sukha. So, because it is akshaya sukha is available, why will he go towards the adyantavanta sukha? And he said, I don't want this happening. Buddhaha, the wise person. And Prabhupada quotes Nayam Deho Devajam in this purport. And he also quotes Ramante Yogin Anante. Yes? Yeah, since he is a self-realized person who is not striving for liberation. He is striving for liberation by focusing on the super soul. So, vindatya atmaniya sukham. What is that atmaniya sukham? Jnana vastiti tadgratena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. Focusing inside is focusing on the super soul. He is talking about a person who has come to the atma jnana level, he is trying to go to the Paramatma level. Okay? So now Arjuna has a question. Yes, I know the material pleasure is temporary, but they're just knowing that it is temporary, the desire for it doesn't go away. The desire stays. So what to do? As Krishna describes. He's invoking Krishna, Arjuna's Kshatriya spirit in this verse. Shaknoti haiva yah sodhu praksharirya mokshanat kama krodhod bhavam vegam sa yukta sa sukhi naraha.
to tolerate Arjuna's material senses and set the soul's desire in anger, he is well situated and happy, and is happy in his world.
Shakno, is it possible? You should ask yourself, is it possible? Of course it's possible. Tell a Kshatriya, do this. Why should I do it? Is it possible for me to do it? What is not possible? I can surely do it. Invoking Kshatriya is Kshatriya. Shakno, is it possible for you to do what? Tolerate. The tolerance is a great challenge. But if you tolerate, what? Two words, Kama and Krodha. Kama is when you want to get the desire fulfilled, you have to say no to it. Krodha is when the desire is not fulfilled, there is frustration. So both you avoid it. This karma growth combination Krishna will talk several times in this sequence of verses. So karma is the desire to be the enjoyer, growth is the desire to be a spoil sport, the desire to be the destroyer. If I can't enjoy, nobody should enjoy. So both one has to tolerate. Karma growth. So Krishna says two things. What is the result of this tolerance? Yuktaha and Sukhi. So person is well situated in this world, he is connected with me in this world. He will return back to me. And not only that, he is Sukhi here also. Why Sukhi? Because the desires are not agitating him. It's peaceful. In that sense, it happens. And Krishna again comes back to the point which you talked about in the 21st verse. But actually, how is this tolerance possible? It's not just a matter of willpower. You have to find inner happiness. It comes to the next verse. Yo anta sukho antara raman tathantar jyoti rivayah sayogi brahma nirvanam brahmabhuto adhigacchati. So liberated from the Supreme, attained the Supreme. So Dhamma Nirvana, that's the word which has come. Where did this word come again? 2.72. It's a Brahma Nirvana, it's a liberation, but it's spiritual Nirvana. It's higher, it's coming up. Krishna will come. Till now, I'm not telling what is the Brahma Nirvana. 6.50, he will tell us. What is the Brahma Nirvana? Mat Samsam and Divachyam. But he will get liberation. And then Krishna says, actually, now Arjuna will start thinking that, yes, I can concentrate on internal pleasure, the view of external pleasure. I'll become liberated. There's no need for me to fight, isn't it? He says, no, such a person, as a seeker, he works for the welfare of all living beings. Labhante brahma nirvanam vishaya kshina kalmashah chinna dvaidhayata atmanah sarva bhuta hite ratah. So here, the first phrase, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam, is the result. And what is described afterward is the process to attain that result. How will one attain Labhante Brahma Nirvanam? Vishaya, Kshina Kalmasha, free from all desires. Kshina Dvaidha, duality one aspires to. Actually, it's also permission, happiness, distress. Sita Atmana, striving for liberation. And Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratai. Striving means actually trying to do good to all living people. And Arjuna gets a question, my God, so double order, do so many things to be pure-hearted, to work for the welfare of all living beings, not in realities. How long does one have to do it? And there was a question, he shakana all day again. And he asked me, how long would he have to do all day? Rakshari in Mokshanad, for a long time. So Arjuna says, really, how long would it be? So Krishna asked him, it's so not very far away. Not very far away. So that he says in this world, that he has spoken on this world. Kama krodha vimuktana yatinamita chetasa abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmana.
Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme, the very near future.
Very near future. What is Sanskrit word? Abhito. Soon. Abhito Brahma Nirvana. Abhi. Yeah, that is just a coincidence. There is no coincidence correlation between Abhito and Abhi, as far as I know. Abhito Brahma Nirvana. Soon you will attain that. Then of course, Krishna is going to describe now, how does one focus on the super soul? There are two ways. So, next he will describe the Prasadam, Ashtam Yoga, we shall describe in the next chapter. And then Bhakti Yoga, we shall describe in the chapter after that. So here, these three verses become the seed for the next two chapters. Sparshan krutva bahir bahiyam chakshushchaivantare bruo anapanamo krutva nasabhyantara charino vigati kshamano buddhir nirmoksha parayanaha vigati kshamano bhaya krodho sada mukta evasa. Describing in the Ashtanga stage, the stage of Pratyahar. So now, we know that there are these three parts of Bhavita talks about. Three parts. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Sorry, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Now there is no Ashtanga Yoga section in the Bhagavad Gita. Why is it? Because, to some extent, the Ashtanga Yoga can be categorized into two parts, divided into two parts, which are partially including Karma Yoga and partially including in Jnana Yoga. So, Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama. These can be done while one is practicing Karma Yoga also. This Krishna will talk in the 6th chapter, we will study briefly. But to do Pratyahara cannot be done while practicing Karma Yoga. You shut out all the sense objects. How can you do that? If you are living in the Pratyahara, you have to go to Jnana Yoga. So, from Pratyahara, Jnana, Dharana, Samadhi, that is more obviously inactive. So, that is something like Jnana Yoga. There's a verse which will come in 6.4. That for some people work is the means, for some people cessation of work is the means. Ayurukshodhaniryogam karmakalamuchyate. So here Krishna is talking about after the karma yogi has become sufficiently purified, then he goes into the pratyahar. And then by going into the pratyahar, he will go to ascend to higher levels, jahan bharati, ultimately getting samadhi. So Chaturvarti Pada explains over here, Sparshan refers to the sense of touch, but Krishna is using that to refer to all sense objects. Sparshan, some sense of soft sense objects, some sense of touches also. That is soothing. It's not all sense objects. Bahir bahiyam. Just all sense objects. And focus inwards. And in the last verse is bringing Bhakti Yoga. This is the only verse in the whole fifth chapter where Krishna talks about himself directly. Yajnathat sambhoktaram yajyatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram sridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam chanti vichyati. Arjuna wanted peace, isn't it? Krishna was talking about peace. Shanti. But he said, how you attain Shanti? Not just by not fighting. By understanding that I am the proprietor, enjoyer and the well-wisher of all things. Prabhupada, this formula, a general principle. Now there is another meaning of this, that bhoktaram yajnapasam. So bhoktaram yajna, this refers to karma kaya. Tapasam, Surudam Sarvabhutana. This refers to Ashtanga Yoga. Why? Because the yogi is, they do the pasya and eventually they try to focus on the super soul in the heart. And Sarvaloka Bhaiswaram also refers to Karma Kanda. So Krishna is telling that one who understands that I am the ultimate goal of the yajnas of karma kandis, the yogic meditation, the austerities of the yogi, of the ashtanga yogis, and the ultimate goal, and one, like, knowledge, the jnanis want jnatva. They understand that I am the ultimate goal of all paths. Shanti nachyati, you will attain the supreme peace. And this purport is very long, and it's quite a classic purport. This will go to the last part of the purport. Like today morning I was saying about Seva Anurupam. No, the Lord does not discriminate. But I think we are calling this service. So Prabhupada says that. So the last, this is the fifth line of the last page. The Lord is not partial towards anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. So, if you try to serve the Lord, the Lord will punish. Then sincerely He will reward us. And here Krishna has completed more or less his elaborate analysis of Karma Yoga. We started from the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter with the intercession of conquering lust and the avatara concept. It's been going on even in the fifth chapter. So now, from the next chapter onwards, Krishna will start Dhyana Yoga. And after talking about Dhyana Yoga, also Krishna will come to the conclusion that better than going to jungle meditating is to meditate by Vani while you are fighting, yogina of observation. And that also is. So now, in this section, as Krishna is going deeper and deeper into philosophy, the call for fighting, it becomes less and less frequent, explicitly. Because, you know, it becomes clear that Arjuna wants to go deeper and deeper into philosophy. It's not going to be a quick understanding or solution. And Krishna goes deep. And the call to fight comes very infrequently in the later chapters. So the sixth chapter has 47 verses. So hopefully now we will do that day after tomorrow. Tomorrow you have your exam. And you are going to study and exam and you know, announce about it. And we are well on track now. We completed 39 verses. Thank you very much for your double tolerance, tolerating the fasting of Mahaprabhu and tolerating the intricate philosophy of a jnani. This is there in this chapter. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.
Regarding the first test,